The 558th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by NYRA Bets. Sign up today for a $25 free bet and $200 deposit bonus with promo code SGPN25. Just go to NYRABets.com/SGPN25.
Howdy ho, degeneritos. Welcome to episode 558 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's going out to King of the Streets, Manel Cape. His DNA not good enough for this fight card, Sally. Thank you for coming to the show. No, actually, last week's fight card, or this one, for that matter. Thanks for coming to the show. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox. Speaking of Chalky, we got the main card, a portion of UFC 301 coming down here. Pantoja versus Usyk. Bet you didn't expect you were going to hear that those names, at least one of those names, in a UFC pay-per-view main event this soon, but there you go. This is going down in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. This is our third podcast we've done on events in Rio this weekend. We did an LFA podcast a few episodes ago. Yesterday we did our UFC prelims, early and main prelim episode, and today it's all about the main card, the pay-per-view portion. They expect us to pay $70 or whatever for this here fight card. We're gonna do all that today, but that's not all. We got our locks, we got our dogs, we got our props, and we got our Hungry Man Jong super fan parlay. If you wonder what that is and you're new to the show, first of all, welcome. Second of all, hang in till the end and you will find out what all those words put together mean. All right, let's bring in my co-host here, co-host with the mo host. See if he agrees with me that we got some very unfortunate lines, at least to start off the main card portion of this here event. That would be Daniel Gummy-Reeland. Hello.
Yeah, it's chalky. I think you can get down on some props and make it worth your while, but from as far as money line is concerned, which, you know, here at this show, that's what we talk about mostly. The money lines are mostly pretty chalky here for me.
Unless you like your minus 500 plus favorites, then this is the fight card for you. One positive main event, co-main event, those odds are a lot closer than the ones that we are kicking things off with. This fight card, all Brazil versus, basically is Brazil versus the world. I don't think we have any Brazil versus Brazil fights on it, do we? No. It's all Brazil versus another country. So this is what UFC would do this every once in a while in the olden days, like Brazil versus USA. They don't really play it up now. I'm sure the crowd will. Every fight, someone will be told that they're going to die, which is always a fun atmosphere if you're not the one being told that you're going to die. So this would be in the Junés Arena. I swear it's called something different now, or at least according to Wikipedia, it's called Farmacy Arena in Rio de Janeiro. So I don't want people to...
Why not?
Is it the same building though, perhaps? It's probably just naming rights. Yes. Yes. It's just naming rights thing. So it's Farmacy now. So I just don't want people to get lost. If people are in Rio wandering around going...
And they're using us for MapQuest.
Yeah. They're using us for, instead of GPS and in their phones, they're using us. They're like, they told me it was at an arena that doesn't exist anymore. So yeah, this is at whatever I just said. Farmacy. All right. Let's kick things off, shall we? This is the main card, like I said, pay-per-view portion. If you're lucky enough to live in one of the regions where they expect us to pay for this event, this is a 10 p.m. Eastern start time. And we're going to kick things off with another fighting nerd. I called him the spokesman of the fighting nerds. Does he have an official title in the fighting nerds? He's just part of
it. I mean, he tries to say that he's the same as everybody else. Yeah. He actually doesn't like that people put him on a pedestal because he speaks so highly of all of his teammates, and there's so many good ones too, including, if you're listening to this, tune into LFA, Ikaro Brito, who's probably about to do some gnarly things.
Yep. Of course, we were talking about Kai Bahio. I was just making sure he's not like a coach or a co-owner or anything like that, right? He's just not at this point. So, all right. He is a friend of the Top Turtle MMA podcast, which means he's a friend of ours. All right, let's kick things off. So is the man he's fighting, though, Paul Craig. Scotland versus Kai Bahio, Brazil, 3 5-minute rounds at middleweight. Fun matchup. We'll start with the Bear Jew, Paul Craig. That's his nickname, folks. I'm not calling him. I don't even know what a Bear Jew is. He won't tell anyone either. He has never told anyone, right? He didn't tell you. I don't think he's ever told anyone, has he? Publicly.
Not to my knowledge, although I will say it's from a movie. You know, it's from Inglorious Bastards. So I
haven't seen it.
I think it has mostly to do with that. Oh,
Jeff hasn't seen. Go figure, eh? Go figure.
That could be a different podcast. What hasn't Jeff seen?
It could be. Exactly. All right. Mr. Craig. 17-7-1. Four knockouts. 13 submissions. Excuse me. He has finished everyone. He's been knocked out four times, submitted twice. So this man owes his rounds. It's about damn time. He's fought 25 times in MMA. He owes his rounds by now. 9-7-1 in the UFC. 1-3 over his last four. Got submitted in his last fight. Predominantly, he has fought at light heavyweight. Now he's down at middleweight. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. SportsGamblePodcast.com/store. Get sticky with it. Did you see some sticky people are sneaking through into the Discord again?
Did you notice that? Sneaking.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. It almost feels right.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they'll mention something, another fun catchphrase for us to say. All right. Craig, 2013 pro MMA debut, a BJJ champion, 5 inches of height, an inch of reach over Bahio. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.44 strikes per minute, plus 440. No respect for the veteran. Kai Bahio, the natural, 15-1 with one no contest, 4 knockouts, 4 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 5-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in contender series, as part of a 12-fight winning streak, and he's 14-0 and 1-0 contest over his last 15 fights. He has not lost a fight since July 2015. He's fight down at welterweight, up at light heavyweight, was regional champion at 2014 pro MMA debut, 6 years younger than Craig, better striking stats, more active landing strikes, better grappling stats, and he has outstruck his UFC and contender series opponents by 0.75 strikes per minute. He's at minus 550. I kick off the main card. Normally, to make things fair, give me Bahio, obviously, in this fight. I don't like the line, but I think he's going to win. And when Gumby did interview, I know you can't put a lot of stock in interviews leading up to fights, but when Gumby talked to him on Top Turtle MMA podcast, he sounds like he knows that he's got to keep this standing, then he's going to piece.
He's going to knock him out. He said he's going to knock him out.
There you go.
And here's the thing, too, for me. I think even if he does choose to go to the ground, I think he can do all the things that Brendan Allen did. I don't think Brendan Allen did anything that Kai Bahio can't, you know, between the pressure and his ability to stay out of submissions and like choosing not to be in those grappling exchanges early in the fight until you've worn Paul Craig down. I also am questioning Paul Craig's cardio at middleweight because it looked like he quit in that Brendan Allen fight.
He's getting older.
And Kai Bahio, I think also, speaking of things that people are forgetting about, Kai Bahio is low-key kind of a great striker. Mm-hmm. If you go back to his 2 fights on Contender Series, and they did make him fight twice on Contender Series, which is wild. First of all, he beat Aaron Jeffrey, largely in a striking fight. And a lot of people talk about Aaron Jeffrey as like being deserving of the UFC and like needing a shot in the UFC. And like he is a great talent. And Kai Bahio beat him on the feet. And then you follow that up. He fought Jesse Murray, not particularly a great striker, a guy who likes to grapple, and he beat the hell out of him on the feet and knocked him out. And like, I think people forget that when Kai Bahio came to the UFC, because he's Brazilian, people are like, oh yeah, jiu-jitsu. But like, he came into the UFC with a couple of big striking performances. I think we can see another one here too. So yeah, I love Kai Bahio. Yeah, negative 550, not run into the ticket counter with it. But I'm still picking him here.
Yeah, Gumby subtly, like he likes to do, corrected me misspoking. I said 1-0 on contender series. It was 2-0. You are correct, Gumby. Just like you gently say fighters' names correctly after I
Kovalkevich.
Kovalkevich. I already did it yesterday. We're done with that. But we're not done with the playoffs. NBA and NHL playoffs are going on. And so make sure you tune in all week, all next week. Keep going until we got another month and a half of hockey and NBA playoffs. NBA gambling podcast, hockey gambling podcast. They got episodes to get you locked in so you can win while you watch all this exciting playoff action. And it's Derby week on the Sports Gambling Podcast, main podcast. So tune in as the guys get you ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. All right. Let's break down the next fight, shall we? And it's going to be, we're sticking with middleweight. We're sticking with Brazil versus the world. Michel Pereira versus Ior Pachiera, who he is from the Ukraine. 3 5-minute rounds, as I always like to say. I'm going to say that about every fight except the main event this week. Duelist is Pachiera's nickname. He's 21-5, 9 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times. So he's taking this fight on short notice. Warning, warning. Danger, danger. 2-3 in the UFC. Win, loss, loss, win, loss. That's the pattern we got going here. Missed weight in his last fight. Keep that in mind. This is a short notice fight for him as well. He used to fight up at light heavyweight before. He also used to fight at 165 pounds. The fabled weight class, 165. 1-0 in contender series. 2 inches height, 2 inches of reach over Pereira. 3 years younger. He's outstruck his opponents in the UFC and contender series by 0.18 strikes per minute. Plus 510. I told you we got some fun lines to kick things off. Pereira, there's a reason why the line is like this. He's a demolidor. Demolidor. It means he demolishes things, right?
That's correct.
Like I demolished the English language. He's 30-11 with two no contests, 11 knockouts, 8 submissions, knocked out once, submitted once. So very, very durable, to say the least here. 8-2 in the UFC. He's on a 7-fight winning streak. Before that, he lost two straight fights. So he's really turned things around. 2 straight wins have come via finish. He's not lost since February 2020. Used to fight at welterweight. Missed weight in that weight class. Now he is a middleweight. Was regional champion, 2011 pro MMA debut. Better striking stats, better grappling stats than Pereira. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.44 strikes per minute. I need a drink of water, so I'm going to finish up by saying he's 5'9", minus 5'9". Ouch.
Yeah, so first of all, he's turned things around since those two losses. It's important to remember that one of those losses that was just that he beat the hell out of Diego Sanchez too hard yes. And eventually landed an illegal knee. And the other one was he fought Tristan Connolly on short notice, wasn't prepared for a wrestler, and tired himself out and wound up losing a grappling decision. Since then, man possessed. Pereira went in there and beat the hell out of Andre Petrosky. You know, and we're talking about Poltiera, whose only wins are Robert Brysek and Shogun, you know, a very aged Shogun. I don't think he's UFC caliber, if I'm being completely honest with Poltiera. I think they're giving Michel Pereira a chance to do whatever he wants in there. And if you stay tuned for the Hungry Man Jong Parlay, you'll find out more about what exactly I think he's going to do in there.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to be very specific, are you?
I'm going to be so damn specific. He's going to hit a moonsault in a hurricane in a hurricanrana.
He used to do stuff like that. I don't think he does that anymore.
He's chilled out. I'd love to see him do another moonsault though. So
I think he was gassing himself out being a wild man. So yeah.
Yeah. That's his loss to Tristan Connolly, right? Like that's how he lost. He's been weird. Yep. Chose not to do that from then on, and he's 7-1 with that weird loss to Diego Sanchez because they need him in that.
Yep. All right. Before we move on, I shall tell you that you can bet the Run for the Roses with NYRA Bet. Score big on the Kentucky Derby with the double dose of rewards. Sign up today for a $25 free bet and the $200 deposit bonus with promo code SGPN25. Join now to claim your $25 free bet and $200 deposit bonus at nyrabets.com/SGPN25. Do you need more? You greedy people, you want more? You can bet Kentucky Oaks Day with a $30 bonus. Opt in and bet at least $150 each on Belmont and the Big A and the Churchill Downs. $30, win or lose. I didn't write the ad. Okay. I'm just reading it. We're giving you an extra $50 for Derby 150. Bet $250 each on Belmont at the Big A and Churchill Downs for a $50 bonus. Win or lose, visit nyrabets.com to opt in. The Triple Crown is here. Opt in and bet at least $25 on the Kentucky Derby and Preakness Stakes and get a $10 bonus on Belmont Stakes Day, win or lose. NYRA Bets has everything you need, if you haven't figured that out already, to bet the fastest 2 minutes in sports with confidence for expert picks, betting insights, promotions, and more. Visit nyrabets.com. Catch all the Triple Crown action on America's Day at the Races. Join now to claim your $25 free bet and $200 deposit bonus. This is the important part. nyrabets.com/SGPN25. If any of those words didn't make sense, that's the part you need to pay attention to. All right, we're going up a weight class and up one fight on the card. This is a light heavyweight fight. Anthony Smith versus Vitor Petrino, the man who I besmirched the other show and said he was bald. He's got short hair, but he's not bald. Anthony Smith, USA. Vitor Petrino, Brazil. I will no longer say mean things about him by accident. All right, Smith, Lionheart, 37-19, 20 knockouts, 14 submissions. He's been knocked out 11 times, submitted 4 times. Not as durable as someone like Pereira. 12-9 in the UFC over 2 stints, 1-3 over his last 4. Got TKO in his last fight. This man has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Get sticky. If you don't know what that means, go to that link. Used to fight at middleweight. 2-0 in Bellator, 2-2 in Strikeforce. Strikeforce never die. Has missed weight at middleweight before, but that doesn't really matter now. He's light heavyweight for a while. 2008 pro MMA debut, 2 inches of height over Petrino, better striking stats, more active landing strikes. However, he's been outstruck in the UFC by 1.26 strikes per minute, plus 420. Petrino, Icao, right? I-C-A-O, is that how you say it?
Sure.
What does it mean? Do we know that?
Nope.
Yep, Gumby's done. He's quit on me here. Petrino did not quit for your money. He's 11-0. 7 knockouts, 1 submission, 4-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in Contender Series. An inch of reach, 9 years younger than Smith. He's outstruck his opponents by 0.25 strikes per minute over in his UFC and Contender Series. Fights, better grappling stats than Smith, minus 500. Ouch. Obviously, Petrino is the pick here. As long as he doesn't attack Smith's family, I think he's going to knock him out.
I think he's going to knock him out too. I will say this is one of my ones that I'm staying away from in terms of parlays. Not because I have any faith in Anthony Smith. I don't have any faith in Anthony Smith. Petrino looked like he got tired in his last fight. Anthony Smith, you can say what you want about Anthony Smith. I'll say a lot of things about Anthony Smith. He's got no he's got no chin left. I think his brain is made of mashed potatoes. Like, he's got no chance of staying conscious in this fight except for if Petrino gets really tired. And I think there's a chance that that happens. Anthony Smith is still a great grappler. He's still got phenomenal jiu-jitsu skills. And I think if Vitor Petrino decides to, like, weirdly grapple him and tire himself out, I think he could find himself in a really bad spot here. If he chooses to just take distance, throw bombs, he'll knock out Anthony Smith whenever he wants to. It's just like a fight IQ question, and one yep. that I wouldn't be willing to hinge all of my parlays on at negative 500.
Yeah, it's a, like Emmy said, I was going to say it's an IQ test, basically, for a young fighter, which is good. This is a step that he does have to take here, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm staying away from betting the minus 500 line, because Anthony Smith has screwed us over in the past, or at least has screwed me over when I've written him off before. You can't write off a Lionheart, I guess. You also can't write off the guy in our co-main event because we thought he was retired because that's what he told us. And we forgot MMA fighters are liars, just like boxers. That would be Jose Aldo Jr. From Brazil. He is fighting in the bantamweight fight against Jonathan Martinez from the United States of America. 3 5-minute rounds. This fight card's so good. They're like, we don't need it. 2 title fights, Gumby. We only need a returning Jose Aldo.
I don't think they're going to sell very many pay-per-views on this one. Because it's not a stacked pay-per-view card, but yeah. My God, is the gate going to be huge on this?
Oh yeah. Yep. It shall. Yeah. This is for the Brazilians for sure. All right. Junior Aldo, 31-8, 17 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once, 13-7 in the UFC. Used to be the champion, but up at featherweight. Cause yes, he did fight at featherweight and lightweight is where we all assumed he would end at the end of his career, but no, he's made a successful drop to bantamweight. He's gone 3-1 over his last 4 fights, but he did lose his last fight. That was back in August of 2022. Then he retired, quote unquote. He's not won a fight since December 2021. Was 8-0 in WEC. WEC never die. We love WEC around these parts and the champion there. We should have a spinoff podcast where we just watch old WEC events. And all right. If people want that, let us know. We'll make a Patreon. We'll watch every WC event.
If you get the subscriptions up to 1,000, we'll do it.
Oh, really? Okay, you're paying me to do it then, because I was going to do it for money, and now you want to do it for free. All right, we'll talk.
Well, no, we're up to 1,000. That is money.
That's true. Yeah. All right, WC was great. Frank Mir actually was a good color commentator too. So there you go. He was on a very long winning streak, this Mr. Aldo guy, not undefeated because he lost early in his career. 2004 was his pro debut. He was BJJ champ, 1-0-1 him as a pro boxer. Better grappling stats than Martinez. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.17 strikes per minute. He's at plus 140. So a dog in his return. The King of Rio is a dog in Rio. Martinez is the dragon. Not Ricky the Dragon, Jonathan the Dragon. He's 19-4, 9 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 10-3 in the UFC. He's won 6 straight and 8 of 9. Won his last fight via TKO. He's not lost since March of 2021. Has missed weight before. Used to fight down at flyweight, up at featherweight. He has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Crack at the shirts. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. sticky, all that stuff. 2014 Pro-Am made debut, inch of height over Aldo, 8 years younger. We act like Martinez is this young up-and-comer, but really he's not super young, but still young enough here. More active than Aldo, landing strikes. He's outstruck his opponents by 0.88 strikes per minute, minus 150. Mr. Gumby.
So I'm going to take Jonathan Martinez. Here's the thing, though, is this is a pure pass fight for me in terms of a lot of things. First of all, Jonathan Martinez, when Jose Aldo was in his prime, was he better than Jonathan Martinez? For sure.
Yes, obviously.
Even late in his career, was he better than Jonathan Martinez? Mm-hmm. I still think yes. And so, like, some people might be like, oh, well, let's rush out and put a whole bunch of money on Jose Aldo at dog money. And if that's, like, your jam and you're a big Jose Aldo fan, by all means. But I can't get behind betting a guy who I think is trying to fight his contract out so he can box.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
he said that. He's right, basically saying it. Yeah.
He doesn't want to be in the UFC.
So or MMA. He said he's not looking at any other MMA promotions either when he's done. So, yeah.
So, like, he is not out here trying to, like, make a move up the divisions. He's out here trying to fight out a clock. And not that he probably still doesn't want to win in Rio, and not that he still probably doesn't care about doubling his paycheck and all those kinds of things. But you have to ask what's in it for him on top of that, right? Like, because this is not for him anymore. And Jonathan Martinez is a good enough opponent where I'm like, if he's not motivated, Jonathan Martinez will make him pay for it. If for some reason he comes in motivated, though, which, like, you know, how can we handicap that? How can we handicap where Jose Aldo's head is at this point? I think he could beat Jonathan Martinez. I'm just going to say I'll take Jonathan Martinez thinking Jose Aldo comes in not giving a shit. And that's why officially for me, no play. I'll say, yeah. You know, I don't want any part of this line, but I think Jonathan Martinez wins.
Yeah. Do you really want to pick against Jose Aldo in Rio too, as well? Like, you never know.
Oh, like, yeah. Get like weird judges scorecards.
Oh, that too. Yeah, of course. But yeah, he's surprised us before, like with his middle rate run. But yeah, everything is pointing to Jonathan Martinez. So you would think that would be the case. You would hope that would be the case, but we shall see. All right. Main event time, Gumby. Someone just told me I messed up one of my articles. So now I'm distracted, but that's okay. We'll soldier on. Imagine me messing something up. Can you imagine that?
Can't.
No comment?
I was shaking my head. You don't ever look at her.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I'm fixing my mess up. I had Derek White playing for the Boston Bruins tomorrow, but no, he's not. He's playing for the Boston Celtics.
I'm pretty sure he's on the Celtics. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I just,
he's been scoring a ton of points.
Yep. Copy. No, that was my pick tonight. I have him over 15 and a half points, but I forgot to take that out and put
it. It was only 15 and a half. Actually, yeah, that's funny that you mentioned that. Yeah. When I did my underdog fantasy article this week, I had him on the higher than 16 and a half points.
Oh, look at us.
On underdog fantasy.
We're like a old married couple. Gumby and I have become one.
We get it. We get it.
Mind meld. Anyhow, thank you, listener.
Yeah, 38 the other day.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Sauna Pete, for calling me out for my error. It has been corrected. A simple copy and pasting mistake. I know Derek White doesn't play hockey. Maybe he does, but not professionally. All right, before we move on, Underdog Fantasy, they're with us. And as we were just talking about, the NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing the pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Goals, shots on net for Derek White, all that type of stuff. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your other favorite sports like MMA. If you're watching YouTube, you see there's an MMA slip right there on your screen. Or if you're on YouTube, check out the video. Gumby made an Underdog Fantasy video for this year coming up event. So there you go. You can learn exactly. We're telling you how to play. We're telling you what to play. We're giving you a discount code coming up. We got it all covered for you. So, and if you play your cards right 100 times, your money, you can win just like that. And it's a ton of fun, of course. Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. So I can play as well. And they've also just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. All that should sound great to you. So make sure you sign up with our code MMASGPN. That's the code MMASGPN, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code MMASGPN. couple things I forgot to mention. New customers get a pick 'em special in the lobby when they sign up. Boom. And you can check the calendar in there because they have specials for each day running, different promos, bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and so much more all throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure you follow at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. And sorry.
Hey, did you see how many points Derek White had?
How last night? Wink, wink. How many?
Last night, wink, wink, 25.
See, I know what I'm talking about. I'm killing it. But my daily best bet articles on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Yeah, I'm like very, very good. Let me tell you, 65% I'm hitting and up way up. Attaboy, buttloads attaboy. Of money, buttloads of units. If you want to talk units, all right, let's go to our main event. UFC Flyweight Championship of the World. Alexandra Petoja, Brazil. Steve Ursig, Australia. Five-minute rounds at 125 pounds. Ursig, right place, right time. Steven Ursig, no. Nickname is Astro Boy. 12-1, two knockouts, six submissions, never been finished in a fight. 3-0 in the UFC. Won his last five knockout. 11 straight wins. Not lost since September 2017. Was regional champion, used to fight at bantamweight. 3 inches height, an inch reach over Pantoja, 5 years younger. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes. And he has outstruck his opponents by 0.93 strikes in the UFC, plus 160. Pantoja, the cannibal, gross, 27-5, 8 knockouts, 10 submissions, never been finished in a fight. Very impressive, even at flyweight. 11-5 in the UFC, is the champion of the world and has already defended it one time. He's won 5 straight fights. He's not lost since July of 2020. 2-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. He was the number one seed that season, was he not? And then got upset, right?
Wow. He lost to my guy from Japan.
What's that guy's name? But yes, I know who you mean.
Yeah, go ahead. You keep going.
People are yelling at their phones. The nerds are yelling. They know who it is. Multi-region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Get sticky. He does not. Probably doesn't have a sticky shirt. We should rectify that. 2007 was his pro MMA debut. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.42 strikes per minute. He's got better grappling stats than Ursig, minus 185. Give me Pantoja. I was trying to see if there was a way to get in on Ursig here. Surprised that the line is as close as it is. You can't pick Ursig just because, you know, there's value on the line. I think this is a bit too early for him. Like, he's at right place, right time. No fault of his own, but he really hasn't fought that high of a caliber of opponent in the UFC. Pantoja is not one of those guys that seems like the crown is too heavy for his head. You see a lot of people that don't like being champion. He seems to, it took him a long time to become champion in the UFC. So he seems to be very happy to be the champion, and he gets to fight in his native Brazil again here as well. I don't think he's going to drop the ball here. As for actual technical breakdown, he's basically just dangerous everywhere. I don't think Ursig's Mace basically, makes his hay grappling, even though he did win his last fight via knockout. But Pantoja is very strong pretty much everywhere. So, I see him retaining the title here. Should be a fun fight, though.
Yeah. Hiromasa Ogikobu.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, it's the name of the guy who beat Pantoja. Look, I really want to take Steven Ursic here. In fact, when I'm watching this fight on Saturday night, I'm going to be rooting for Steven Ursic. I think his story is so much fun. He looks like a IT guy from Best Buy. Like, there's so many reasons to think that this guy would be a really fun champion. But the bottom line is that, like, everything I like about Steven Ursic is not suited to beat Alexandre Pantoja. Like, if you watch, like, his best moments in grappling, like, if you go back and you watch all of his best moments in grappling in the three fights he's had in the UFC so far, it's somebody else shooting on him and him countering that shot. Pantoja is damn near impossible to counter his grappling. He is so technically sound when it comes to hitting a takedown. And then the second best thing for Ursig is he throws bombs and he lands them. Pantoja is so hard to land on. Pantoja is defensively sound there too. Like, he is just a guy who I don't think the things that Steven Ursig has exploited on his opponents on Matt Schnells of the world are going to do anything to Pantoja. Pantoja's top game might be the best top game in MMA right now. And I don't say that sparingly. Like, I mean that in terms of him being compared to Islam Makhachev. I mean that in him being compared to, you know, I guess there's not a lot of grapplers who are at the top of the game right now. I mean, like Armin Tsarukyan, I guess, or, you know, Ilya Topuria or stuff like that. His top game, once he's on top and he's hurting you and he's positionally on top of you, I don't know that there's anybody better in the UFC right now. And for Usyk, a guy who scrambles and counters those positions, it's just not a play. If Usyk came in here at plus 300, plus 350, plus 375, I'd probably talk myself into it here. I just can't. I think Pantoja is going to steamroll him.
Yeah, and I was hoping this doesn't put Usyk like a loss here. I hope that doesn't derail him and put him at the back of the line. But flyweight's a thin enough weight class, that I guess.
Yeah, it'll go beat Tim Elliott, and he'll be right back.
Yeah, exactly. And as I always say, it's right place, right time a lot of times. And here, if he's available for a title fight, he just happened to be at his, I read he was at his kitchen table eating some KFC. When they interviewed him for the fight, when they offered him the fight. So maybe that's the key to getting title fights here. All right, let's recap. We agreed on everything this time. So yeah, very chalky for Gumby, that means as well. Pantoja, Martinez, Petrino, Pehea, and Bohio in the opener. So, all right, all favorites. Sorry, but hey, we're obligated to give you winners here. All right, we're going to give you some, don't go away yet, you people waiting to flip off, locks, dogs, props, and Hungry Man Jog Superfan Parlay. I think it's your turn to start. Anyhow, sure. You can start regardless. I'm ready, for a change. I am ready.
The one I really like here is Drakkar Klose.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Joaquin Silva is great at jiu-jitsu. I just don't think he can get it there. I think Klose is too tough to take down. And in addition to that, like I said, if he had knocked out Beneil Dariush, we'd be talking about this guy as a top 10 lightweight right now. And he was damn near close to doing that. So I'll take Drakkar.
Yeah, me too.
So if that's yours, I'll then bounce back with for my dog of the week. I'm going to take Ernesta Karakate. We can be boring here, but Ernesta Karakate, like I don't see, unless she gets taken down easier than she ever has before, her length, her reach, her sharpness and her striking and her power to an extent, I think it's going to give Barbosa so much trouble. So I'll take Ernesta.
Me too. Now this is going to be, if we can link up on a prop, that'll be very mind melody.
I've got a good one, and maybe I can sway you to it. Even if you,
I got a good one too.
Motabek Arobai.
No.
Okay. So we're going to be different. That's good. Motabek Arobai inside the distance. I think Elvis Brenner survived a absolute storm in his last fight. Mm-hmm. Was this close to being finished. And as I said on yesterday's episode, you don't get that close to being finished against Motabek and not get finished.
No. He's finished everyone except one win he didn't finish. Yeah.
In Orobai's K or inside the distance prop, you don't even have to pick KO or sub plus 200.
Oh,
I mean, just get in on that. Like, I think that's a steal.
It is a steal. We're stealing money. All right. I have a different one. Even bigger, actually, now to look at it. Kai Bahio via knockout or TKO plus 250. It's a fantastic number for a guy who's looking to knock out a guy who is a BJJ specialist. So, all right. Recap.
I had that on my list of ones I was going to possibly use in the Hunger Man.
There you go. We both have Klose. We both have Karat Kate. He has Orobai inside the distance. I have Bahio via knockout. All right. Hunger Man Jog Superfan Parlay. It's a 2-fight parlay that when it hits is going to win us big money, at least plus 1,000.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with Drakkar Klose's knockout prop. I know we just took him out of the lock, but as you said on yesterday's episode, Joaquin Silva has been knocked out a bunch of times. He damn near knocked out Beneil Dariush. His KO prop right now is +205. Not a bad number for me in terms of starting one of these. And I'm going to pair that with something I teased earlier in the episode. I said I was going to take Michel Pejeda, and I said I was going to take him in a particular way. Uh-oh. Michel Pejeda went out there last time, and it was so obvious that he was like, I need this submission, and I need this submission right now. And he stunned his opponent and immediately took his back and submitted him. I think this is the new Michel Pejeda, where he's like, I'm Brazilian and I get submissions.
All right.
His submission prop went from 650 in his last fight down to 370 I think the books know he's in on the submissions. I'm going to take him again to submit Iho Proteria here. I think he tags him and bags him, and we wind up with a submission prop here, 370. So if we get Dracar close to knockout, Michel Pajeda by submission, you're going to get 1,333. 1,333.
Fantastic. All right. Get in on that. Get in on all our plays. Now you're all set. UFC 301. Get more fun with us in the Discord. Lots of fights this weekend. We've covered most of them, or all the big ones. So if you haven't already, dive into our archives and listen to all the events we have covered for this coming weekend. And you can chat with us in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord, and or the comments on YouTube. We check those as well. Twitter, Gumby runs that for us. He's SGPNMMA is the account. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer. Obviously, subscribe to us on YouTube from all your accounts and all of your family's accounts. And what else can you do? You can listen to Top Turtle MMA podcast. Gumby interviews Kai Bahio on it, and he interviews the guy's name I don't feel like saying again.
Mate Sarkadite.
It is fun, though. Mate Sarkadite. So listen to that. Get in my Substack. You can take our advice and win my pick'em contest in there for free. It's free to play. Prizes aren't free. You get actual prizes that you don't have to pay for if you win. So UFC 301, that pick them. That's at moneymma.substack.com. And the sportsgamblingpodcast.com is the spot for all our writing and all our links to all our discounts and all our giveaways and all our podcasts and all that good stuff. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store obviously is the spot to go to get cool swag like we like to wear. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/patreon so we can crush corporate gambling. All right, Gumby, bid the people farewell.
All right, I'm Danny Gilby Freeland. He's the King of Kitchener, Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.